What a song. That's Whale Beach Road, Luke Escombe. He's a singer-songwriter, guitarist of blues, rock and soul. He's also a comedian and a keynote speaker and the creator of ABC's The Vegetable Plot. So he's a true Renaissance man. And this Friday, the 26th of July at 7 p.m, Luke will be performing at Balgala Bowling Club for Best of the Beaches. And I'm very thrilled to be joined by Luke. Thanks for coming on, Luke.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Leo.
It said that this show, this Friday, it packs your love of rock and roll and songwriting and comedy into one entertaining night. So what does that look like?
Well, it sort of looks like a bit of a multiple personality disorder playing out on stage, hopefully in an entertaining way.
Right.
So I'm packing kind of acoustic finger picking folk storytelling Luke and blues and roots Luke and some of the Vegetable Plot and some of the more comedic songs, and then sort of moving to the electric and getting sort of more raucous, I guess, as the set goes on. But actually, what's fun about this is because we're on the north side of the bridge, I get to play a lot of my songs that are about life on the northern beaches. And I realise that, you know, they're stacking up. I mean, Whale Beach Road is a good example.
So did you live in the northern beaches?
I do live in the northern beaches now. I started in London, and I came to Sydney 25 years ago and sort of started in the inner west and have been gradually kind of drifting north. But now I'm very north. I'm in Avalon these days.
Mm.
And so that's where I spent lockdown, and that's where I made the Whale Beach Road album, because that's actually, you know, that's where I was during lockdown.
And tell us about that album.
Well, I wasn't really expecting to make another Luke Escombe album. I have this, sort of in quotation marks, kids band called The Vegetable Plot that's really become my main touring band, my main kind of creative project. But lockdown was a... You know, lockdown actually began with, 6 months of the country being on fire. And I think I was in a very sort of dark, reflective place and thinking about times throughout my family's history when they've been sort of faced with these almost existential threats. For instance, my grandparents had to flee from East Germany in the early 50s, like literally pack up and go overnight when, they got a phone call in the middle of the night that my grandfather was going to be arrested. Mm. So I started thinking about what do people do when faced with these sort of historical moments? And I just kind of started writing about that. And it was my mum's 70th that year as well. So I wanted to kind of write her a song for her birthday, and ended up turning into this album, which is kind of an album about my family and about kind of this place that I found myself at the end of the fires and the start of lockdown.
Right, and it's a great album. It really delves into those, as you can hear, the soul, the roots, the blues, and yet it really grooves as well. It's got a bit of a funk element to it. Well, you were in a funk band initially, I believe?
Yeah, that's right. I started off in a kind of outrageous kind of comedy soul funk band in the early 2000s in Sydney, a band called Funklantis, which is actually a lot like what The Vegetable Plot is now. It was a band that was based around a kind of mythology, this underwater civilization, you know, built on funk gyration or whatever it was, and I sort of played this kind of high priest figure. So I was very influenced by Parliament Funkadelic and that whole idea of, like, not just kind of earthy funk, but some outer space science fiction element in there as well. So I've always kind of liked the wilder aspects of funk and soul music.
Mm. Well, The Vegetable Plot, that's on ABC. It's for children and families. It's an educational series. And is there a musical education in it as much as there is a food education?
Oh, look, I don't think of it as particularly educational. I'm happy for people to derive whatever positive messages they want from it. But really, it's all about playing with language and playing with musical genres and having a lot of fun with the possibilities of the language around food and vegetables and growing and creativity and fertility and roots music and soil music and all of that. There's a lot of puns. And what I love about kind of kids' music, again, in quotation marks as a genre, is that you can do whatever you like creatively under that umbrella. As long as the lyrics are sort of suitable and interesting for children, you can explore every type of genre. So that's sort of what the band, what I love about the Vegetable Plot is I can do, you know, one track that's a kind of outer space funk soul song, and then the next one can be a, you know, 1950s Peggy Lee jazz number, and then the next one can be a hip-hop song, and so on. So it's really, it's the thing that allows me to explore all of the different personalities I have.
Right, and comedy is one of those personalities. What got you into comedy initially?
I think it was sort of getting into my early to mid-30s and kind of having a bit of an assessment about, you know, what? How is this actually going to work as a career? And at the time, I had a four-piece band, and you know, economically, that's just not viable, touring with a four-piece band, unless you're really doing very well. Even people that are getting, you know, good album sales and radio play, it's still very difficult to tour with four. Mm. And then I remember going to see comedians like Eddie Izzard at the Enmore Theatre and feeling that, like, the energy of comedy is like the energy of rock and roll, like the excitement. That one person and a microphone can generate on stage is comparable to what a whole band can do. So I just thought this is something, it's always been part of my songwriting, but I wanted to kind of explore it fully and go out as a solo performer, which is how I mostly do Luke Eskom shows nowadays. I sort of find that because the lyrics are so important, kind of performing solo is the best way for me to present all of these different sides.
Mm. And you're an ambassador as well for Crohn's and Colitis Australia and the Gut Foundation. And you created a show called, a musical comedy called Chronic, that was back in 2011. And you also toured internationally with a keynote show called Chronic Symphonic. Do you think that comedy is underutilized at the moment as a tool to help people with these in the area of health and hardship?
I think, when you look at sort of the success of, I think because the world is so kind of crazy at the moment, you actually find that a lot of people are getting their news from comedians, especially if you look in the US, people like Jon Stewart and John Oliver. Over here, we've got like The Weekly Show and the Cheap Seats. I think comedians have a way of making reality palatable at the moment. And I think something that maybe is more appreciated now, I certainly didn't appreciate it when I started trying to write stand-up, is the intelligence that's required to write comedy well. It's a really intellectual exercise, but when it's done well, you kind of don't notice how clever it is.
Right, yes.
So I think it's something that I think laughter is one of the great ways to kind of find some emotional catharsis. And when you live with chronic illness like I did for 20 years, you know, it was a huge part of my life. There's only so much benefit you can get from feeling sorry for yourself and crying. There's something about laughter that's almost a deeper catharsis. You're able to kind of let go of all of the shame, feelings of humiliation, guilt, all of those things. Can be kind of cleansed through comedy. So I think comedy is a very powerful force in the world at the moment, and it's a really positive energy, I think. It's something we need. I don't think we should be, afraid of it.
Yeah, it's sort of like the connector between everyone. When everyone laughs, everything, all the tension slackens, and we all become sort of one unit together.
That's it. Gloria Steinem actually said that laughter is instant connection.
Wow.
And I think that's why I've found this sort of little nice niche of doing keynote speaking, which is really me doing stand-up comedy gigs, but within a health context. So doing it at conferences and being able to talk about really confronting aspects of my life or about the patient experience, but in a way that's funny, and it enables you to kind of deal with the darkness and the sadness of it, but still be uplifted.
Hmm. Well, let's just play a song. I've got a song, Get in the Cool Room. Is this one that you'll be performing this Friday?
Probably not. I have a tendency to play a lot of songs that are sort of top of mind at the moment, and I noticed that I don't play a lot of songs I've already recorded.
Right.
So I don't think this one will be in there, or Whale Beach Road, but there are a couple. But I always try for the set to be a kind of representation of where my mind is at the moment, with the world as it is now.
Right. So Lady Sunlight, is that another one?
Now, Lady Sunlight, that's one I think I will play. It's a song about my mum and dad and how they met.
Right. And is this a request? Because I heard that you actually asked people to message you with requests for the music to create the set list for this Friday.
I did, and funnily enough, my mum messaged me and asked me to play a Bruce Springsteen song. So she doesn't quite sort of understand the concept. Like, actually, I meant my own songs, mum. And it's funny because I wrote this one for her, but she'd rather I played a Bruce Springsteen song.
Well, let's play Lady Sunlight, and afterwards we'll just talk a bit more about the gig and what's coming up. So here it is, Lady Sunlight. This is Luke Eskin.
Just one last story to be told.
This is Drive Tuesday. I'm Leo Metzger, covering for David Barr. I'm here with Luke Escombe, and that was Lady Sunlight, one of the songs you may hear this Friday when he performs at the Balgowla Bowling Club for the Best of the Beaches. Luke, who are going to be the support acts for you?
Oh, that's a very good question, Leo. I probably would need to Google that.
Oh, well, it says Lines of Flight and Astrovan. They will be the... Yeah, the two acts. I think Astrovan actually won there's a recent competition in the Northern Beaches for the under-21 bands, and they won and composed a song that won that competition. So you can also hear them this Friday. And this is all for the Northern Beaches Council's initiative. It's called the Creative Open 2024. But Luke, it says, this is interesting, you hold the title of Sydney's sexiest male voice.
Yes, well, that's right. I mean, this is a radio competition in 2011 on a station called Mix 106.5 FM, which I'm not sure that exists anymore. So I don't know if they had that every year. I don't know if I was just the 2011 one. As far as I know, it was just a one-time thing. So I think I still hold that particular title.
Right, so almost a decade.
Oh, yeah. Well, right. Going, 13 years now or something. Quite. And, it's one of those things that's quite nice to be able to put on your bio when you do speaking work. And it's funny how people just accept it. Oh, you won this? Yes, I did. I have a certificate somewhere. And, there it is, Sydney's Sexiest Man Voice.
Right. What was the criteria? Did you have to say a few lines and then they...
Well, I actually got a phone call at about 6 a.m. and it was a pre-recorded message and it was something like, "Hello, you've been picked as someone who may have Sydney's sexiest man voice. Please record a sexy voice message after the beep." And "Hi, this is Luke. This is my 6 a.m. sexy voice." And I guess people voted on these answer phone messages, and I had to go and do in the studio and do a sex-off with the other phone. So we had to read the presenter's horoscopes in our sexy voices, and there was something about a retrograde, Mercury's in retrograde or something. I had some good lines in mind. And I think I must have won the vote. I don't know how many votes it was. I know my mum probably voted a few times. And I think I would have been working with some school students at the time that may have also voted for me. So I don't know if I won by many millions of votes or just like 20, but very, very happy about having that award. It's been quite handy over the years.
Definitely. Well, people can hear that voice this Friday. And where can people go to get tickets?
So the gig's at the Balgowla Bowling Club. So I believe you can get tickets online. You might have the direct address for it there. They call it The Bally.
Yes, www.thebally.com.au, I believe, is the place people can go.
That's the place,
yes.
Yeah. And it's really fabulous that Northern Beaches Council is putting this on. They're putting on lots of gigs, lots of music, lots of comedy, and it's great to see, you know, the council supporting cultural life here on the beaches, because there is so much of it, and often not that many opportunities to play here. You know, we often have to get in the car and drive over the bridge and go to the Inner West So it is really exciting to be part of this, and I hope we see a lot more events like this.
Yes, yeah. Well, Luke, thank you so much for this chat. It's been a great thrill, and I hope it goes great this Friday.
Thanks, Leo. I really appreciate it.
Creative Open Winter Arts Festival returns to fire up Sydney's northern beaches. Experience 4 days of workshops and talks, exhibitions, markets, comedy, and free live music program featuring The Strides, Ruby Jackson, Green Mohair Suits, Cope Street Parade, Luke Eskom, Sandy Evans, Squeezebox Boogaloo, Skunk Hour, Lolo Levina, The Golden Strangers, and more. It's happening across the northern beaches from July 25th to the 28th. Check out the full program by searching Northern Beaches Creative Open. Northern Beaches Council, sponsors of Eastside Radio.